Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Cotello of Mass Live, MLB Insider, covering the Red Sox now. He made his mark. What was it, 5 years ago, Chris? You were a senior in high school and you broke baseball story as a senior in high school, right? Was that 5 years ago?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, yesterday, but it was a whole college career ago. So now full-time covering the Red Sox and kind of more focused on that team, but staying in touch with everybody throughout the league.
You're kind of an old man now. I mean, you washed up at this point.
Yeah, I know. Close to retirement.
That's right. Anyway, what'd you think? I know you're covering the Red Sox, and we'll get to them a little bit too, but what'd you think of the trade the Tribe made there, getting Brad Hand and Adam Simber yesterday?
Yeah, it was an aggressive move, obviously. You know, it's not common. You see two major league pieces kind of move for one prospect, but that's what they decided to do in that deal. You know, I mean, he has a lot of value, and they decided to kind of cash that in and get two relievers, you know, a couple guys that are controllable, not rental guys. Brad Hand has been one of the best relievers in baseball the last few years. I think people don't really realize that because he's in San Diego, and especially with how that team's lost for, you know, the last few years. So he's a guy that San Diego kind of got off the waiver wire and has been really effective for them. A lot of teams have wanted him because teams like lefties. They like controllable guys. They like guys who perform. He's been all three of those things. And, you know, for the Indians, I think it extends the window a little bit. They have him and Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller's healthy. We know what he can do. Being in the back end of that bullpen for the rest of the year together, and if Miller departs in free agency, then you have a guy that can step in a high-leverage role. So I did like the move. You know, they've been holding on to Mejia. He's had a lot of interest in the last few years from a lot of teams and a lot of different fronts. They decided, you know, we really need to address that bullpen problem. You know, what's really interesting this year is none of the moves that the Astros, the Indians, Yankees, the Red Sox are going to make really are going to have any impact on the rest of the regular season because it's pretty much settled. But we're talking about October. Those guys are both guys that can probably help in October. And you're looking at now things for specific matchups. So they're going out and acquiring guys that they think will match up well against Houston, Boston, New York. Those three teams are going to do the same, scouting everyone else. It's just a very unique year, and every move will be geared toward October. And then, you know, if you get a controllable guy like those two for future years, obviously, as well.
Yeah, especially, you know, you're right. I mean, Boston and the Yankees have to battle each other because neither one wants to be the wild card. But the Astros are in pretty good shape in their division, and certainly the American League Central outside of the Indians has been terrible. I was looking at it before, Chris. The Indians, the rest of the season, Boston is the only team on their schedule the rest of the season that is more than two games over 500 today. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, the Red Sox, the last few weeks, you know, people are talking about how red hot they are, and they have been. They've played really well, but before the break, they were in Washington, swept them. They were in Kansas City, swept them. Texas game, Texas is terrible, swept them, and then took three out of four from Toronto. And now, you know, coming out of the break, they have Detroit, Baltimore, and Minnesota. So it's just, you know, you look at the schedule, and it's like an exhibition season for all these teams. You know, the Red Sox do have a lot of games against the Yankees that will matter the most. They do have, you know, all the games against the Indians. They haven't played them yet, and a three-game, four-game set against Houston, I believe, in September. So there are some challenges left for the Red Sox, but all these teams, you know, they get the chance to pile on 10 bad teams, four, you know, really good teams, and then I guess the Mariners are a good team that's kind of right in the middle there. Maybe the Athletics, you can count them there too. But
yeah,
it's a unique year where, you know, the Red Sox, I was talking about just because I cover them, I think, you know, they are benefiting because all the talent in their division outside of the Yankees is going to get shipped out. You know, Machado's already gone. The Blue Jays could trade their good players. The Rays are committed to dealing. So in every division, all these sellers, if talent goes to the National League, these games even become easier. So I expect that to keep happening. And these win totals are going to be absolutely ridiculous by the end of the year.
God. Yeah, I mean, like, the Indians could win 100 potentially, or 95, 98, and they'll probably be the fourth. They'll probably have the fourth best record. When you look at the top four teams, the Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, and Indians, and you talk about their needs, right? Like, the Astros could use some bullpen help. And the Red Sox probably also, you know, in front of Kimbrel. Yankees, obviously, the Indians could use an outfielder, and the Yankees probably need a starting pitcher. I think that's the Yankees are in the toughest spot, aren't they? Because bullpen help can be found. an outfielder can be found. I don't think there's a pitcher, because I don't think the Mets are going to trade their guys. I don't see a pitcher that's a difference maker for the Yankees. Do you?
No, I completely agree. You know, and they're kind of the outlier. Like you said, Houston, Boston, and Cleveland heading into the deadline, or as of a couple days ago, are all really looking for bullpen help. That hasn't changed for Houston and the Red Sox. Indy has made their move. But the Yankees, you know, that rotation obviously can look short at times when you look at, you know, what after Severino, Sabathia, you have Sonny Gray, who you can't trust. Montgomery's out for the year. So I'd expect them to really want an arm. But who are you going to go get? Is that Cole Hamels, Jay Happ? These are guys that, you know, are not performing that well. Nathan Eovaldi, a guy who used to pitch for the Yankees, could fit. Matt Harvey back in New York might be a disaster. So you're just looking at a lot of options that aren't really attractive to me. The Yankees do have the pieces if they want to go out and really get someone good. But, you know, one of the guys that has been rumored, Michael Fulmer, now on the DL, that was just announced a few minutes ago. And he probably won't be back before the deadline, so probably takes away him as a possibility. So DeGrom and Syndergaard are really in a league of their own. I agree. I don't think they'll be dealt. I don't think the Mets, if they're going to deal them anywhere, would deal them across town just because of that little brother complex that they always have. Why, you know, make the Yankees, who in their heads is a big rival, even if they're not in reality, why make them even better? The Yankees are in a tough spot. And so I think, you know, they're obviously very good, have had a very good year, but in a tough spot where there's not that starter out there like there was last year. You had Darvish, Verlander, Quintana, and Gray out there. This year, the top guys are not top of the rotation guys, and makes that difficult in New York.
Chris Cotillo, Mass Live with us. Chris, looking at the outfield market at all, I mean, we've talked some about maybe the Indians trading for an infielder and potentially moving Kipnis, you know, Ramirez to second and Kipnis to the outfield, because the outfield market's not great. I had C.J. Nitkowski on earlier. He suggested Whit Merrifield, although I don't know the Royals would want to trade him within the division since he's controllable for a while, even though they're not going to be good for a while. What do you like? Shin-Soo Choo's been great, but he's owed $21 million each of the next 2 years. What do you see for the outfield market? Adam Jones has been mentioned. He hasn't been great this year. What do you think for the Indians in terms of the outfield?
Right. I mean, Adam Jones is a name. Curtis Granderson, those types of guys. Jose Bautista, these are guys that are big names that, you know, are probably a little over the hill. So you're not really sure what they'll give you for 2 months of a season. Veteran presence is always good, but these guys are, you know, in a lot of cases old. So Shin-Soo Choo is another example of that. These guys have performed. I think, you know, maybe something more creative where they can grab an infielder and move things around might be better. You know, I think there's a lot of teams that are looking for bullpen help. There's a lot of relievers available, so that problem solves itself. Not a lot of teams looking for starting pitching help, and there's really not a lot of teams looking for outfield help. The Red Sox, the Astros, the Yankees don't really need to go in those markets. So the Indians, you know, if they want to find a guy, they can. You know, if you're at the point where Melky Cabrera is entering the picture again, there's obviously some issues there. And I think they'll look. But those guys, like I said, you're not going to find a really strong guy just because those are all older guys and on bad teams. They'll want to move them. So it's going to be big names, but guys that are over the hill.
Chris, what's David Price's relationship with the media and the fans these days in Boston?
It could be better. I think it's, you know, he's a very interesting guy, and that was, you know, taking this job a couple months ago was, I think, one of the things I thought would be one of the bigger challenges. Last year, he was combative and had big fights with one of our fellow writers and then with Dennis Eckersley, the Hall of Famer, about the comment he made. Obviously, those things made it out into the media. This year, you know, when he was pitching well, he decided to do this passive-aggressive shtick where he'd make comments about Fortnite and his carpal tunnel and all these different kinds of things that he thought the media had a narrative about him. So he decided to just kind of be a martyr and feed into that. And it made the media not really like him, but at least at that point he was performing. I think it's very hard for him in a big market. He just doesn't like all the attention. Very different than Tampa, Toronto, and Detroit, especially for a guy that came up, you know, pitching at the Trop. Fenway's a lot different. And you've seen him on the biggest stage time and time again not be the David Price that we know he can be, whether that's against the Yankees or in the playoffs. And they're going to need him to perform. You know, I think it's as of a week ago, I would have said in your rotation, the postseason would have to be Sale, Porcello, and Eduardo Rodriguez. Rodriguez might not come back this year now with that injury. So Price's role is very important. You can't throw him in the bullpen like you did last year in the playoffs. You have to really rely on him to start postseason games. And that, I think, at the end of the day will kind of be if the Red Sox succeed or not. It will be based on that.
I'll tell you, Chris, as good as the Red Sox and Yankees have been, I like the Indians and Astros starting pitchers more. And, you know, it doesn't always come down to the starters. I've seen a lot of people kind of write off the Indians like it's between the Yankees, Astros, and Red Sox. I think that's stupid, especially, you know, if Andrew Miller gets healthy, you could argue that the starting four of the Indians and the back three of their bullpen combined is arguably the best in baseball.
It is. You know, I think they're definitely in the running for that. The Indians have always, you know, had that starting pitching depth and guys that are homegrown, and we've seen Bauer take a huge step forward and be a guy this year with the Red Sox. Porcello is going to be solid. Sale is going to be an ace. But past that, Rodriguez was their third best pitcher so far this year, and that's a huge loss that not a lot of people are talking about. With the Yankees, we've talked about, obviously, their concerns. And with the Astros, I think, you know, you feel good about Verlander and Cole and Keuchel and McCullers, Morton, those guys. That's a very deep group, even if a couple of those guys haven't, you know, been up to full potential this year. I think the Indians are probably written off a little bit too early just because the record is not that insane number. They're not, you know, on pace with the Red Sox to win 113, 112 games. Yankees are up there too, but they're four very good teams in the American League that in a five-game series, it's all about, you know, getting a solid pitching performance every time. I think it's a big risk for a couple of these clubs, especially Red Sox and Yankees, especially if you have to burn one of those guys in the wild card game in that short turnaround. So it'll be interesting to watch. I think the Yankees will go for a starter. The Red Sox, if they do something in the rotation, it'd be like an innings eater. I suggested James Shields in a column today. You know, again, not a sexy name, kind of an over-the-hill guy, but you know, a guy that can eat innings for you and get you there. It's just a shame that Rodriguez went down for them because he's a guy not a lot of people know about, performs really well in New York, which is a good indicator of how he'll perform in the big stage. And now, again, you have to trust David Price. I don't know if that's something you can be willing to do.
By the way, you never know what you're going to see when you watch a baseball game. Right now on MLB Network, I'm watching the Cubs-Cardinals. Victor Caratini is pitching for the Cubs throwing knuckleballs.
Tommy La Stella was in there, too.
Yeah, he was in there earlier in a 16-4 game. Anyway, final thing, this is about the Red Sox. You know, you mentioned Sale, and obviously Sale's always been great. Anecdotally, I always felt like he never pitched well at the end of the season. So I was like, I better look this up, because I keep saying that to myself. And you know, I look up his splits, and his career from September 1st on, he has a 3.78 ERA, by far the worst of any month, a career 1.24 whip in September 1st or later, by far the worst of any month. Anything to it? Coincidence? What? What do you make of that? Anything?
Yeah, it's something that's really been talked about a lot this year because there was a little bit of a breakdown last year and in the last month, and we saw him not be necessarily the guy the Red Sox expected come October. So Alex Cora came in and made a plan where we're going to make sure Chris Sale is healthy. We're going to save innings. Chris Sale is a guy that's always going to want to go out there and pitch nine, maybe a complete game shutout, go for that. He's a guy who's really a threat to throw a no-hitter every time or really get 20 strikeouts, but they're not going to chase that. They haven't been. If he's at 95 pitches after six, they're going to say, you know what, Chris, that's enough. We're going to save an inning. And through 20 starts this year compared to through 20 starts last year, I believe they've saved 14 innings or something, chopped that off, which gives him, you know, an extra two starts. So they've really been concerned about that. They manipulated off days to give him extra rest. They manipulated the All-Star break where he's not pitching tonight. Price is. He'll pitch on Sunday. So they've really made it a focus where there's no reason to go out and get this guy fatigued when pretty much, you know, your playoff spot's wrapped up. The divisional race is a whole different story, and we'll see as time goes on how that progresses. But they're really cautious with him. They're really going to make sure that that doesn't happen. But in the last few weeks, Sale's been really as good as he has been his entire career. You know, performances of 11 or more strikeouts, I think, in five consecutive games. Scoreless or one run. Almost zero walks, and he's a guy who's out there throwing as hard as he ever has. In the All-Star game the other night, he was reaching back and throwing 100, close to 101, and we've seen that late in his starts recently. So all the indicators are that, you know, the second half will be a little bit different than in previous years, but we can't know until we get there. I think they've really made it a focus, so if it pays off, it'll be, you know, a really smart plan by Cora in his first year. And that speaks to a big problem, though. If Sale, you know, regresses in September, then you know, that depth shows a little bit more once you get down to Price and Drew Pomeranz, who's coming back this week, and guys like that. So they really need Sale. They really need Price. But so far, with Sale, no worries. And hopefully for them, it continues.
Yeah, that would be – it's going to be interesting. They need him, certainly. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.